Confession is expression. See, what I say is what I believe. What I say is what I believe. And before I got saved, I believed a lot of wrong stuff. And I said a lot of wrong stuff in my life and in my future and all of that stuff. You know, and I'm going to talk down them lines tonight if the Lord will. Because let me tell you something. It's very, very important what you say. Not just in church. You know, I started guarding my words that I speak over my life, over my family, over my future, over my ministry a long time ago. Because I realized through Scripture that, well, I'll take you through some of them. I realized through Scripture that God is not in control of everything. Some people think that God is sovereign. He is sovereign. And that He's in control of everything. But that is far from the truth. He's in control of what people will let Him be. He's only in control of what me and you let Him be. If God was totally in control of everything in this earth, the prisons would be empty. There would nobody be unsaved. There would nobody be in the hospitals. There would nobody be murdered. So we can see that God is not in control of everything. But you know what? He is in control of the things that me and you let Him be in our lives. Hallelujah. And what we say has everything to do. How many knows Jesus made the statement? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. So what we've got in our heart, you know, is going to come out in our conversation sooner or later. Most of the time, it's real easy to me to stay in faith and talk faith when the pressure's not on. You know, things are not good. Things are going good. I'm in church around church folk. But it's when I'm under fire, it's when I'm tempted to say what it feels like and what it looks like. But you know, that's the time that we need to say what we believe. And we don't believe, we can't. And you know, I've seen a lot of Christians messed up in this. They actually believe based on what they see, what they feel, what they've heard. You know, we got to believe based on what the Bible says. Let me just give you an example. Okay, I believe that, I heard this statement after I got saved, you know, through the denomination I was going to, and I'm not against denominations. Some people are just ignorant. Ignorant don't mean we're stupid. You can fix ignorance. You can't fix stupid. I mean, if I'm ignorant, you can fix that, but if I'm stupid, it's hard to fix that. So I've seen that a lot of people was just ignorant of what the Bible says. Let me give you an example. I heard this saying where you know, people will stand up and testify, oh, the Lord's been good. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And it didn't sit well with me. I didn't know what was wrong with that statement or anything, you know, but it didn't sit well. You know, how many knows you can grieve the Holy Spirit and don't even know why it's being grieved? But I had the Holy Spirit living in me, and so that was not truth. How many knows He bears witness with truth? That is not in line with the Bible. I heard it, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with that picture? And then all of a sudden, you know, I realized I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. See, the Bible says that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. All things are of God. Now, how could I be an old sinner saved by grace anymore? No, you can't be. See, you can't believe this stuff because then you're always going to be susceptible to failure. And I don't believe in failing. I don't believe in not winning. I can't find in the Scripture where some Christians say, well, you win some, you lose some. That's the world saying. Christians should not have that thinking and should not have. Don't the Bible say that we are more than conquerors? It didn't say we're going to win every now and then and we're going to lose every now and then. That's why we sang these songs in church. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. I stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory is mine. Now, I'm not trying to record a song. And you could tell. That is not just a song to me. Victory, oh, victory is mine. No matter what I'm facing. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory, oh, I just went up to C. I was in G. But you know what? It's not what I sang in church. That's good. We come to worship God and get built up in hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. But you know what? It's outside the walls. It's out there when the battle is on. Bless God. We got to be believing based on the Word of God. I've had people to tell me, I mean, you know, some of my family thinks I'm a little radical in faith, this faith thing. But you know what I've lost the whole time I've been a Christian? A garbage dumpster. I ain't never lost my house. I ain't never lost no vehicles. But God, I paid for them by faith, sitting in the parking lot of my driveway, tore up, had to bleed God for the payments because I was going to keep a good name. See, I believed that when the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver, then I'm not going to have bad credit. Come on, somebody. You might have bad credit today, and you might be saying, I need some steel-toed boots. No, it's not meant for that. It's meant for us to gear up from where we are and say, bless God, the road that I'm going to travel in the future is not going to be based on my failures in the past. Bless God, I didn't know how to fight, but praise God, now I know that I've got to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Well, we don't go around saying, well, you don't know what we're going to do for Christmas. And all of my grandkids ain't going to have nothing. This is contrary to the Word. See, that's what you really believe in your heart. But if you really believe that God's big enough to bring a breakthrough to you between now and Christmas, then you'll just begin to praise God. And you'll say, He's an on-time God. We know what we're going to do. We're not going to confess that God ain't going to come through. We're not going to say we don't know what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. So we're not going to let the natural circumstance get us to confessing the wrong stuff. And I've had Christians say, well, that confession, you don't really have to do that, you know, just you got to just have it in your heart, and God knows you. Yeah, it'd be fine if that was biblical. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He's God. But you know, He give us the Holy Spirit. He give us the Word to renew our mind so that our will be transformed. Romans 12:2, He says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove there in Romans 12:2 means to walk out, to have it manifest what is that good, perfect will of God. Praise God. I'm going to show you where God told Job. He said, after Job had repented, did you know? I mean, there's a doctrine out there, and I still hear it every now and then. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that. Job was not, he didn't have Jesus. Job didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It didn't come to the book of Acts. Job was ignorant of what he was doing. Later on, he repented, and then God restored him double for what his trouble was. But he had to repent. He had to change it. God come up to him, and God said, where were you when I set the moon? Where were you when I created this? Where were you? In other words, God was showing up to Job like He has to us sometimes and say, who do you think I am, man? I'm God. Cancer's no match for me. COVID's no match for me. And you know what? The more that we yield to that, but let me tell you something. Our life is not just left up to God. Our life, He's given us the ability to think, to believe. He's not a dictator. He's an inspirator. He inspires us to walk in His ways. He inspires us to renew our mind, but He's not going to make us. He don't come and say, well, you're going to hell. If you know, He don't know. We already know that. So you know what? If you believed, you're just to know. I mean, this guy told me one time, he said, I'd let him come out here and put a camper out here. City made me move it. I didn't know I could. I couldn't do that. Giving a dude somewhere to stay, he had a camper. Well, the city made me move it, and they found out. Somebody told on me, I guess. I didn't know. But anyway, he told me, well, I said, man, why don't you come on to church? He said, I go to AA meetings. He said, I go to AA meetings. He said, and he's in his conversation, you know, he said, you know, they help me because they say, you know, we have to say this, we're always going to be a recovering alcoholic. Or you can say it this, we're always going to be a recovering heroin addict. But that's not what the Bible says. See, if you believe that, you're always going to be bound to the fear of that thing taking you back over. The Bible says, whom the Son has... So I told him, I said, that's not biblical. I said, thank God for Alcoholic Anonymous classes you're taking. I said, but you need to come to the church class. I said, you need to come to the second grade now and get started on your way to college. I said, but they're keeping you down here. I said, because are you born again? And he said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, then you're not a recovering nothing. You've been redeemed. I said, then you got to renew your mind to that. See, that's biblical. We're new creations, right? Don't the Bible say that if we have sin and we ask God, he's a just God to forgive us and cleanse? Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. But see, the thing about it is we got to watch what we're confessing in this hour over our lives. You know? Just like the Bible says, God says, in the Bible says, I think it's in Hosea, he said, let the weak say that I'm strong. He didn't say, go ahead and say how you feel. Go ahead and say at 53 I'm weaker than I was at 30. I can tell my body's getting wore out. We don't need to be confessing that junk. We know what the scripture says. It said we know that the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Right? We're promised 120 years. Did you know in Genesis, they lived 900 and something, 1,000 years before Adam gave up authority to Satan and sin entered in. Somebody told me, I said, well, we're promised. They're like, oh, God, the way I feel now at 60. I don't want to live no 120. That's 60 more years like this. I said, see what you're saying? I said, no, man. I said, look, man, Caleb was 80 years old. And God, he told God, give me that mountain for Cain. 80. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm not looking at what people says. I'm going to believe based on the Bible. But God, I got an anointing in my 50s. I'm going to have one in my 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100, and 120. And I'm not going to say, God, if this is the way it feels, I don't want to be here 120. Why don't we just go ahead and believe to live long, satisfied life and say it out of our mouth? I mean, I know we don't hear what I'm preaching too much in churches because they're just trying to survive. Well, this church ain't trying to survive. Black God, we're thriving. Hallelujah. We're all over the world preaching the gospel. We are the healed. We're redeemed already. We're not sick trying to get healed. We're the healed, and Satan's trying to get us to go ahead and yield to sickness. Not going to happen. Come on, somebody. Well, this is mind-boggling. It's supposed to be. The Bible says your mind is an enemy to God. Come on, let's get with the Bible. It says your mind is an enemy to God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says for us to put on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Not that old mind, not that reasoning mind that we have. I mean, just like this, you know, shut the church down. I'm not against people shutting church down. That's none of my business. I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about nothing else. Ain't none of my business. Ain't none of mine, none of yours. Everybody got to be led. Right? If the Lord says start a fire in the middle of the devil's den, we go start a fire. Come on, somebody. And so anyways, you know, here I am and I'm thinking, well, God, I had a dream. I had a dream one time I'm preaching and the sheriff comes up and handcuffs me and takes me out of this church. I had it. Won't be Mark Moon. But I don't care what moon it is. You know, and so whenever I shut the door, I thought, oh, man, I can't take it. I just can't take the church being shut. This is awful. This is one of the worst things I heard pastors. Whoo, we needed a break. I'm like, y'all ain't really in it. Black God, I'm ready to fight for what God called me to do. Black God, I'm ready to lay down my life for Jesus. I'm not down to nobody, and I don't get on all that. Ain't none of my business. That's none of my business. Mind my own business. If I take care of me, I got a full-time job. Full-time job if I take care of me. I don't even get up in y'all's business. Y'all ain't none of my business. I don't know about all you garbage. Give it to God. That way I can come up here and preach and be happy. Hallelujah, okay? If I teach you to give it to God and say the right things, think and believe the right thing, we won't have a lot of problems here anyhow. We won't be having problems with the devil. We won't be having problems with oppression. You know, we need to be on oppression medicine, all that. We'll get rid of all that junk. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. He's our strength. But we're not going to go around saying, oh, I have no joy. Nah. You just start saying, glory to God, I got God's joy. Hallelujah. You call those things that be not as though they are. Don't call it like it is. I didn't feel good for 2 days. Teresa, I go in. Cheap tail. Who knows when you're going through stuff, people don't. She don't, baby, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? I'm going through like everybody else. You was yesterday, baby. Just watch me. No, she's learned. Let's don't talk about all of this stuff, because I have to start saying, well, I feel like I feel awful. My body feels awful. I didn't feel like getting out of the bed. I didn't want to say thank you, Jesus, this morning. Y'all ever feel like that? Or am I the only one? Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just got to get up and you got to say, glory to God, I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by how I feel, and I sure ain't going to start confessing this garbage, because I don't want it to keep lingering around here with me for weeks. I mean, the Bible says, submit ourselves therefore to God. We have, through Jesus, right? We submitted to God. Some of you might think, well, I don't read my Bible like I should. Oh, get off of that. I'm going to bring you a pacifier. Find one. He's got one. We can borrow you. Get off all that. That's baby stuff. That's how you feel. Yeah, we need to read more. Yeah, we need to pray more. Yes, we need to spend. But we submitted to God through Jesus. And it says resist the devil and he has to flee. It don't say that he's going to stay around and hang around for a few minutes while we eat. It says resist him and he has to flee. Well, you need to go around talking to the devil if he's giving you trouble. Say, you might as well shut up, idiot. Well, I feel kind of stupid. Yeah, but you'll be victorious. Feel stupid, but be have victory. I'd rather look stupid. Hey, man, God told me one time, I pulled up here and he said, I want you to march around this city and pray in the spirit. I thought, oh, God, why can't I just drive, God? Nobody can see me. That might have been why he did it. I'm like, man, why can't I just drive? I'll drive slow. I'll turn my emergency flashers on. You know? But see, it wasn't about that. It was that God wanted me to decree a thing. God wanted me to decree over this. It took me a long time to bring down some of these strongholds in this city. It took us a long time together. One put 1,000. Two will put 10,000. How multiply that by 50 people or 60? We bringing down some devils. We bringing down some strongholds. Friend of mine come to me and he said, I'll tell you about that story in a minute. Friend of mine come to me and he said, Brother Scotty, I'd like to come to church, but I still smoke marijuana. You know, I used to get stoned with him, man. I said, you know, man, I said, you ain't bothering me smoking pot. I said, but you better get as much as you can around here. I said, because it won't be long, you won't get no pot around here. Because see, pot, witchcraft backs up pot. Illegal drugs. It's witchcraft, spiritual witchcraft. And we're just taking dominion over witchcraft. Come on, somebody. It can rule anywhere else, but not where God's give us. Not at your house. Not at my house. Not in our city. Not in our... Wherever you live, God's got you where you're at for a reason. He needs some anointing on that road. He needs some anointing for them neighbors, man. We're more than conquerors. We carry an anointing that drives back the powers of darkness. But if we don't believe it, I'm just an old worm. No, you're not an old worm. That's your thinking. That's demonic thinking. He's got you thinking you're just an old worm. You're just washed up. Man, you got to come up out of that, and you got to say, glory to God, I'm more than a conqueror, Jesus. All things are possible because I'm believing, Lord, and I'm going to be strong in my latter years. I'm going to be wealthy in my latter years. You were supposed to be rich. I'm on a fixed income. Unfix it. You're fixed right here. Fixed. God is a big, big, big God. Man, this dude started. Let me finish that story. I'm going to try to get. So I get out. I get out of my truck. And they say, there's that faith guy. There's that faith guy. See, they already knew me because I had a garage door business down here. And I'm believing God. I'm here praying, talking to the Lord. Shouting out loud to the Lord in my office, praying God for all the hands get to work, declaring the victory of God in my business way back there. And so these guys would come in, I wouldn't be counted through yet, and they would hear it. I'd be telling them bills, you're paid in the name of Jesus. And they'd be like, who are you talking to? How many knows the Bible says, call them things, your body, bills, broke self, poverty, call those things that be not as though they are. Don't call them the way they are. We're speaking spirits. The Bible says, as God is, so are we in this earth. Now, I know that shattering statement. It says, as he is, read your Bible, so are we in this earth. Well, how is he? Is he up there thinking, oh God, this mess that's going on with the government, this mess with COVID, oh, I just can't take it no more. These kids of mine, I'm about to kill them. God's not up there coming unglued. God's saying, I knew this was going to happen before you ever even thought about coming on this planet. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning and the end, and I know everything in between. Listen, he's already played our life out before himself. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordained of the Lord, or ordered of the Lord, or put in place by the Lord. See, I can think, well, I'm just an old Bluntsville boy. God wanted me in Bluntsville. He had a purpose in Bluntsville. He had a purpose. I could have been born. Mom and him could have said, I think we're going to go over to Alaska and homestead some land. You ever watch them Alaskan people up there, 35 below zero, and they're out there like it ain't cold? And I'm like, bet you take that camera, they run straight to the fire. 30 below zero, dude, I'm not staying outside. I'm not for no money. I'm going in, man. I'll have me a fire. You know, Mom and him could have said that because they was free land. But you know what? God had them here. God had you here. You're not here by mistake. You're not here tonight by mistake. I don't believe there's a coincidence to save my neck. I believe that God orchestrates and sets things up and opens doors and opens and shut and puts us in a place. The Bible says our steps are ordained by the Lord. Give me that, John. Let's see that scripture. But as many as, have you received him? How many in here are born again? Anybody ain't? Not saved. Everybody saved? Okay, I'm going to show you what you got now. To as many as received him, that's me and you, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to show you what that word power means. Ability. We believed on his name. And to us, he's give ability. He's give us privilege. Privilege to the power, the grace, the anointing. Privilege. We're privileged. The world ain't privileged to what we got. They've not received him. They've not asked for him. They've not come into their hearts yet. That's why me and you preach it. I don't care if everybody says they're saved or not. They're not. Everybody says they're saved, they're not. Had a guy 90-something years old. And I've told y'all the story. 90-something, didn't need no money, millionaire. Left his family wealth. Date unreal. And I preached the gospel to him. I'm telling him, I said, do you know Jesus? Well, my brother was a pastor up in Holly Pond, and he was here local. You know, and I've been good, I've helped people, and blah, blah, blah. He went through all these good work stuff. And I told him, I said, that don't mean you know Jesus. I said, sir, if you don't receive Jesus, I said, you will go to hell. I said, whether you realize hell is real or not, it is. It's in the Bible. It's not meant for you. But you got to receive Jesus. Jesus died on that cross. See, the dude had power to get money. He had the ability to get money, but he didn't have God's power. And he was worried, because he's going to have to leave all that money here. Wonder he didn't fill the coffin. But hopefully he got saved. But he gives, because he didn't have privilege to the peace of God. He didn't have privilege that we have. I'm not even afraid of dying. I mean, I don't say that. I'll tell you anytime, anywhere. I'm not afraid of dying. Why? I renewed my mind in the Bible, bless God, to where it says to die is gain. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you really, really realize by the Spirit of God that when you leave here, you are going to be in the midst of Jesus and Peter and Paul and John and all them as went before us that we're reading and preaching about. They preached about this Jesus. There's no fear there. It takes out fear. Force, superhuman. Hey, I went back to what the original Greek meaning of these words. See, Jesus didn't even talk English. The Bible was translated into English so men you could understand it. It was written in Hebrew and Greek. So I got a big old book, Hebrew and Greek. And when something sticks out to me, I'll be like, nah, I'm going to go find out what that means, man. I'm going to find out what that word means in there. That means a lot more than just power, don't it? Just if you say the word power. You're superhuman. You're superhuman. God's not a natural God. He's supernatural, right? Well, if he's in us, don't the Bible say in Romans over there, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, that makes us superhuman. Jesus was not of this world. Jesus come from God, birthed in a virgin, came down here and was on this earth 33 years to make me and you know how God looks, how God acts. He was a manifestation of God. The Bible says that he was God in the flesh. God made known in the flesh. Jesus even said it. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because they were one. He was God manifest in the flesh. Well, what'd he do? He didn't go, they're persecuting me, God. God, I spoke to that fig tree and it dried up at the roots, and they just talking all down on me about it, God. Y'all remember the fig tree? He goes over there, he's hungry, looks afar off. Goes to the fig tree to get some fruit off of it to eat Jesus. He gets over there, there wasn't no fruit back on that tree. And so he cursed that tree. He said, you will bear no fruit from henceforth. Well, he went on, praise God, and it didn't happen right then, but the next day, I think it was Peter, said, Lord, look, it dried up. But my point in that is Jesus had to speak to the thing that wasn't bearing fruit. Jesus had the thought, but Jesus had to speak to the thing, and he was showing the disciples. Just like that's for me and you. I speak to poverty. Let me give you just a little example. Now, I'm a prosperity guy. I don't like being sick. I don't like being broke. I don't like being weak, and I don't like to be defeated. And all of y'all got to get that same way if you're not. It's Bible. Because victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory, oh, victory. Let's don't sing it in church and then not believe it out here. You hear me? If we go sing it in church, let's go out yonder and live it out yonder. Okay, COVID hits. And I'm on it in my business. Oh, Lord, I praise you, Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. Every day, I'm saying it over my business. I plead the blood of Jesus to the business, Lord. This is going to be the year. I'm going to prosper, God. I'm going to have open doors, Lord. You're going to increase me more and more. I've got my confession going, okay? Praise God. And it happened. I started accumulating thousands. I got up to thousands of dollars. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dude, it's working now after all these years. Jesus, it's coming in. It's coming in. But God, I wouldn't listen to what the people said, the economy said. Lord, I believe that you said you would increase me more and more, even my children. Lord, I've been believing your word all these years, and everything looked contrary to it at times, Lord. But I would not say it. I would not think it, Lord. I thought you are faithful to watch over your word. Well, things are coming in. Well, I started looking around. People started losing their jobs. They started saying COVID. Are we going to lose our jobs? They started losing. The media started blowing it up and all of that. I'm not against all of that, the facts and all that. I'm not. But I started listening to it, you know, and I started looking at it. And I thought, oh, it's going to hit me soon. It's got to hit the garage doors. It's got to, you know. And I kept casting those thoughts down. But I stopped my confession. The circumstances stopped me from confessing what I was confessing, a little bit at a time. You see what I'm saying? Okay. The word stopped, seemingly. In my thousands that I was accumulating, I'm having bills keep coming, right? Insurance, tires, gas, all that good stuff. It don't stop. Till I started using what I had believed for. And I'm going down the road one day, and I'm like, what's going on here? And the Lord said, you stopped it. He said, you just stopped taking authority. And he said, as I am, so are you. He said, I can sit back and not speak to my people, and them not speak, and things will stop happening. And I thought, glory to God, I got to get back up. So I told Travis, I said, but God, I said, I'm letting it slip here. I said, I had a good bit accumulated up, and then I just got backed off on it on account of the way it looked, and CNN and Fox and NBC and Channel 6, even when they're weather now. I mean, I want to listen to the weather, and they're going to bring that junk in on top of the weather. I'm like, man, just shut up about all that. I want to know what degrees it's going to be, whether I'm going to wear socks tomorrow or not. I'm trying to turn that junk off. Satan knows what he's doing. And so I told Travis, I said, man, I said, I let it slip here, bless God. So I got back on it. I said, glory to God, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, it addeth no sorrow, blah, 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 blah. Well, I went on, you know, and I'm just going about, and I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. I'm calling my work in. Call your money in. Call it in. Well, he said he would supply all of your needs according to his riches. If your needs ain't met, something's wrong. Come on, y'all getting quiet on me. If your needs ain't met, something's wrong, and it ain't God. And so just, you know, my truck started messing up, and it looked like I was going to have to go to the bank and borrow. And I made up my mind. I said, but God, devil, you ain't going to make me go to the bank through thoughts. You ain't going to get me to do nothing through fear. I believe in my heart, but God, I'll never make another vehicle payment in Jesus' name. And bless God, I won't. Hallelujah. I won't do it, but God, I've always got options. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Things went on, rocked on there a little bit. Praise God. And so I told Teresa to check my bank. You know, I can pay cash, Matt, just after a few months. Now, I'm almost up to 17,000 thinking I'll let that much go, but I'm just not willing. And I'm like, glory to God. Man, I lost all of that. I should have been on it all the time. I'd have triple that if I hadn't started letting it slip. Because God said that he will not withhold any good thing. And right in the middle of all of that, somebody come to me, and I got a good chunk raised from the church. Hallelujah. At the same time. I thought, glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm so blessed. I just go to Teresa, and I tell her, you can have it. I said, you do a lot for the church. You take care of all of this for the church. And you know what? She went behind the scenes and never asked for nothing. I mean, for years doing all of that. And you know what? It didn't go unnoticed. I'm not on her. I'm on you now. I'm on all of us. And everything we do, don't go unnoticed to the Lord. I mean, the Lord is watching everything we do, but he needs us in conjunction with the Bible, with our speaking and our thinking and our believing. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you believe you're going to be no good when you get older, that's exactly what you're going to believe for. You're going to believe what the statistics say. See, we're supernatural beings. We don't go by statistics. We go by the Bible. They go by, you know, people's told me before, well, I went to my pastor one time because, you know, I evangelized for 7 years, and I went to the streets and the prisons and the city jails, and I had two or three of those that I went every year, and streets and hospitals, and I've been to the nursing homes and, you know, praying and preaching and ministering. One lady, 90-something, 80-something, 80 or 90 years old, to Jesus. I'm thinking, good God, man, where's all these Christians been 90 years? This woman's lost, fixing to go to hell, man. I want her to Jesus in the nursing home. But anyways, you know, the Lord began to show me, you know, you've got to be in conjunction with the Word. See, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I've heard people say, well, you know, so-and-so was a good Christian, and they died with cancer. And why is that? Why would a good Christian? I said, I don't know about all that. I said, I'm not going there. I'm not letting my mind go there. If God wants to speak to me something, I said, there could be a lot of aspects. I said, they could have said, Lord, I'm just ready to go on home. I said, they could have believed in their heart that there's nothing they can do about it. I don't know. They could have yielded and just give up. And I said, there's all kinds of reasons. I said, but it's not, wasn't God's will for that Christian to die with cancer. I said, and I'm not going to let evidence convince me otherwise. Do I know? Can I explain it all? No, but I'm going to stay clear of that fear. I'm going to stay clear of that unbelief. I'm going to keep it out of there, and I'm going to say, by Jesus' stripes, they was healed. By Jesus' stripes, they were healed. You had got this doctrine out there. God needed another little angel. Little baby's dying. Ain't that ridiculous? That God would kill a baby? That God would take it? That's ridiculous. God had long satisfied life for that baby. And I'm not going to believe that I wouldn't serve a God that's going to take all of y'all's little grandkids because he needs another angel. And besides that, angels are created beings by the Lord. They're not turning into angels up there. See, we got to make sure we believe right. Went in one day, Mom had a bunch of women angels on the harp. And I've been studying my Bible. Ain't no women angels in there. There's not one woman angel in the Bible. And so I look and I tell Mom, I said, you need to get all these women angels out of here. Find you some Michael, the archangel. Gabriel. Yeah. What, Michael? Yeah, thank you. Oh, yeah, that's right. And she said, oh, son, that's, you know, how do you know there ain't no women angels? I said, they're created beings. I said, it matters how we believe. I ain't got no woman trying to defend me out here. Not degrading women. Some men's more feminine than women. They need to get a backbone. So I told Mom, I said, look, I said, that's just a statue I know. I said, but we got to believe right in our heart, Mom. I said, there ain't no women angels. I said, they're men. They're being created beings, human, angels by the Lord, not women. I said, that matters what we believe. She said, well, my brother died with cancer, you know. And she went over there one day and she said, hey, son, Paul Ray visited me last night. I said, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. I seen him. I said, no, you didn't. Now, see, I'm blowing up an old sacred cow right here, too. Ain't nobody coming back. There ain't nobody coming back. When we leave here, we're not coming back to visit Granny and to watch over her and all that stuff. That's right. And so I said, no, Mom, you didn't. I said, there's what there's called familiar spirits on this earth. Familiar spirits. I said, they know how Paul Ray was. They know what he looked like. If you was visited by him, you were visited by a familiar spirit. They call them all this demon stuff. See, it's demons. Well, let me prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 6 says what? 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, hallelujah, heavenly places. See, the demonic realm is real. It is real. Satanic forces, demons, they are real. They do inject thoughts. They do influence natural things on this earth and things. They can set things up. They can anoint people to play music. They can anoint people to make money in billions. I mean, just think about it. Playboy magazine people, they've got trillion-dollar jets. And people want to gripe about people on TV that's got jets that preach the gospel. Come on, somebody. Boy, they ought to give that to the poor. They ought to give that money. Ain't that what? Is that what Jesus told the woman with the alabaster box that she poured on his feet that was worth a lot of money back then? Some scholars say $20,000 to $30,000 was the worth of it back then. That would be like $30 million. Did Jesus say, oh, no, don't pour that out on my feet. Don't waste that. No, he didn't, did he? Some of them did. Criticized her for worshiping the Lord with her substance. See, I worship the Lord with my money. See, I come from 17, broke and busted. And I thought for years, if somebody would just give us a break, we would have something in life later. Just had dreams and that were just shattered. But the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, I did give you a break. His name is Jesus. He is the way. He's the way to your future. He's the way to you having money. He's the way to you having a home. He's the way to you having a nice vehicle. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But see, our believing, put that up our Proverbs. Did I give you that Proverbs 18? Because I got to get to this. Now, give me a 18. Go on. Yeah, just go on. I think it. Go on. A man's gift will make room for him and bringeth him before great men. Your gifts, not people giving you a break, not catching breaks in life. Not somebody just having compassion and, you know, no, God may use that way, but that's not what that says. Go on, give me some more. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but the neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. Go ahead. There it is. A man's belly, now the word belly, I looked it up in the Greek. It says a man's belly, the word belly means it's got a sense of your life, your whole life. At work, at home, at the grocery store. That's what the word belly means. Go look it up for yourself. Get your Bible out. The Bible says, study to show ourselves approved. right? A workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. I mean, belly, you would think belly, your gut. But that's not what that means. It says a man's life or being shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. I didn't write that. God did. The fruit of your mouth, you're not growing oranges on your tongue. Right? Apples? No. The fruit of our mouth is going to be the words that comes out of our mouth. It's going to be what we say. That's going to be the fruit. The fruit. It says a man's life will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So in light of that scripture, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to say I'm just broke. I owe, off to work I go. I'm not confessing that junk. The Bible says I'm going to be satisfied with what I say. So I'm not satisfied with that. So I leave going to work, and I say, Lord, I'm working for you. I'm not working for this money, bless God. The blessing of the Lord makes Scotty rich and adds no sorrow. It's not got nothing to do with my work, Lord. I'm going to be satisfied with the increase of God. Now the increase of God can take me beyond what God's doors can give me. It takes me beyond that. Couple of verses back, it says your gift will make room for you and take you before a broke man. Not great. I mean, just Sunday, somebody was here and the Lord said, give them $50. I thought, $50, man? Take me 3 or 4 hours to work about an hour to make $50. Lord said, give them 50. And I thought, I better hurry up before he changes his mind, wants me to give him 100. Argue with him, he'll want you to pull out a little more. And you know what? When I said, okay, Lord, you know, I knew that God wasn't just trying to give somebody 50 bucks. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give to your bosom. I knew that that seed had nothing to do with whether that person needed that or not. That money was a seed because God's wanting to do something in my future that he's not already been able to do. Because, see, then your actions are seeds. See, your confession is your expression. I would go to the doctor. I can't keep you much longer. I know we got a lot to do tomorrow. Thanksgiving, turkey, and all that stuff. But you know what? I would go to Walmart every year because my glands swelled up every year. When it would change from spring to summer. When it would change from summer to winter. I mean, it was every year. And I would say, I remember saying, well, I better go to Walmart and get me some of that, whatever I'd get. And it wouldn't even be time yet, Johnny. I mean, I'm going ahead of it. I'm getting ahead of it. And I'm talking about it. And I would go around saying, this stuff hits me every year. I mean, every time things change, and I was saying that out of my mouth, and just out of my mouth. And then one day, it hit me. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. I thought, you know what? My life is being filled with what I'm saying. I was a baby Christian. And I started going around telling Christians that, and they'd go, well, that's foolish, that confession stuff. That faith bunch does that. And I'm like, well, that faith bunch don't never get sick either. Y'all stay sick and they ain't. Something's up with this picture. They live on the same planet. And so I started, the one year it happened, I felt stupid saying it. I go around by myself, I'm healed. I'm the healed of God, I'm healed. Body, you're not going to get sick. You're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name. I'd be like, I hope nobody ain't watching, man. It's stupid. Well, I marched the streets and everybody, that crazy preacher, I seen him go down through there, and he was just a praying and a praising. I prayed all the way through it. I had to finish that story up. And then I praised him all the way back for the city. I prayed and decreed, and then I praised him on the way back for the city. That's why a lot of y'all here. Wasn't me. It's his plan all along. Well, you know what? The last time it happened, it swelled up. Even with me confessing, they swelled up again. Boy, I mean, Teresa had to roll me out of bed and stuff. Just bad. It's just bad. I go, Lord, I'm healing. I go to the emergency room. So I go to the emergency room. It's the last time I went to the emergency room. I went down there and everybody was sick. And so they put me in there and they give me a shot out in the hall. And then when I didn't give them nothing, you know, a week or two went by and I got a hospital. I got a bill for $325 or $340 and they charged me for the room. And I thought, I didn't even go in a room. They charged me for the room. And that made me mad. That really made me mad. I paid it. You know, I didn't get mad at the hospital. I wanted to go. I needed some help, man. So that didn't make me mad. So I thought I've been robbed by Satan. And I told Satan, I said, this is the last money you will get out of me from the emergency room over this, you idiot. I will not yield anymore. I said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I won't be robbed anymore. When you get tired of getting robbed, then rise up. Because you don't. I've not been back not one time. They tried to swell up every season for a few years, and I wouldn't let them. I would slap my hands on my neck, but God, and I would call it healed and rebuke it. I said, you ain't coming on me in Jesus' name. And you know what? I don't even have to fight that battle no more. Now, it's not just my story. This is your story. This has got to be your life, about your bills, about your feet, about your back, about your arms, about your arthritis you're claiming. Don't lay hold of that arthritis. Don't take it. Don't take it. Yeah, but my grandma had it and papa. Yeah, but the Bible says you've been redeemed. I don't care if my grandma and papa died with it. That don't mean me and you got to have it and live with it. We're redeemed, but it's not up to God. We got to refuse it. I refuse to be broke. I went around saying for years, and I'm gonna try to break. Give me that Job. God wants you to do this. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, talking about Job, after he repented, and shalt lift up thy face unto the Lord. Go ahead. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Go ahead. Thou shalt also what? He's telling Job, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. See, now Job does repent. And he's telling Job now, and he goes on, and he's talking about, and he says unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And God spoke to me this evening. He said, I want you to go and tell them, preach this sermonette that I give you, that I want you to go to the book of Job. He said, and I'm going to make it real to them. He's going to make this real to you in your spirit. I can't do it. I can't convince you. Remember I told you to start with? He said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Sickness won't prevail. Satan won't prevail. Poverty won't prevail. Weakness won't prevail. Oppression won't. Upon this revelation I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail. Well, sickness ain't of hell. Yes, it is. Jesus prayed and said, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? Heal. No more pain. No more tears. No more sorrow. Right? Why would Jesus pray, Father, I pray that it be done on earth? Because he wants it done just like it is in heaven on earth before Jesus comes back. And we're going to live heaven on earth. I believe it. But God wants you to decree yourself healed. To decree your body. You got to do it. To decree you're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. But I ain't really, that's really a lie. No, decree it. God looked over the face of the earth and there was darkness. He didn't say, oh my God, somebody get a candle. Somebody get the lantern. Somebody build a fire. No, he sent the Holy Spirit out. He sent the Bible says that it hovered the face of the earth, and it says God said, let there be light, and light was, boom, lit it up. Well, see, God had to decree what he wanted. We are just like God. We got to decree what His Word said, not our own desires and stupid things. We pray and delight ourselves in the Lord. But we find out the will of God in the Bible. We're not supposed to be broke ever. We're not supposed to be weak ever. We're supposed to let the weak say that I'm strong. Why? So that He can strengthen you. Paul said, in my weakness is He made strong. See, once we realize it's not our ability. We're supernatural beings. We're Christ in us, the hope of glory. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. Great things Jesus said will I do, but greater things that you will do because I sin. Look at that, man. I mean, we're supposed to be doing greater things than Jesus. Hallelujah. So you go decree a thing. Teresa got me upset this evening. She didn't even know it. I'm standing up there waiting on the grandkids to get in on our way to church, Mac. It always happens on the way to church. And I got to preach when I get here. Standing there and I'm waiting on the grandkids and they're wanting to show me how they're dancing and all that, you know, and get the wrong shoes and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, let's go. We got to go to church. Yeah, we got to get over there and get the lights on and all that. And I saw them standing there and then all of a sudden, Aiden comes down. And then Teresa, she walks up there, and she said, here, move, move. And I'm like, what? I wanted to say, who do you think you are? I'm not your kid. I'm not 5 years old. I'm not 8. Get this and move. And I'm like, what? And I thought, oh, I want to decree a thing, but it's not God. I want to decree it, Lord. I want to decree it. I'm going to spank you when I get you back home from church. I'll be out under the anointing then. You're going to get a spanking. Well, I wanted to decree a thing. You ever just wanted to decree a thing? And I thought, what am I doing, man? Here I am going to church and God's giving me this. And, you know, and so I started saying, I decree, she never gets on my nerve. Bless God in Jesus' name. She never can. You ain't. And you know what? I'm building up a resistance against myself getting upset. And over, I don't care what you do to me. I come in one time. I've been a little deeper, Johnny. I'm going to close with this. I come in one time, and she's been listening to all these love sermons on love, you know. You know, I mean, she's, you know, developed. And I'm walking down the hall, and she comes out of the laundry room, and she's been listening to sermons on walking in love, yielding to love, you know, walking in love. And she comes out, and then she gets to me, and she goes, psh, slap me in the face. She's going to see if love's working in me. True story. And I looked at her and I thought, did she just do that? She just nailed me. Used to, Mac, we'd be in the floor. I mean, we'd be getting down, baby. Slapped me in the face like that, you know. And I just went, I just turned and walked out and I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. And she said, I was just trying to see if love was working. And I'm telling you, I said, don't slap the other chick. I'm turning that one like Jesus said, but don't try that other one. Don't you do that again. You almost caused me to get out of the spirit, bless God. It wasn't just like that either. It was like, psh, you know, smack me. And you know what she told me later? She said, you know what? You really do. You're just walking in love. I said, I sure was. I said, yeah, man. You know, walking in. See, we're supernatural. If we don't yield to it, I'm telling you, we don't give it power. And I mean, I just want to encourage you tonight now. I mean, you got news and you got all kinds of stuff and people sick, this and that in your family and everybody ain't got no money and they're already worried about not having no money for Christmas. Don't get in the bandwagon with them. Just don't get in it. God can tell them, go down there at that Faithway Christian Center and I want you to bust them with $30,000 and tell that pastor down there to split it with everybody. But that's up to you. I said, that's up to you. If we're believing God, if He has to have a stork to fly over and drop it, He'll do it. Hallelujah. I said, don't ever let Satan see you swing. You ain't never strapped and broke. You're rich on the inside, and it'll draw the outward things to you. Let's bow our heads.